Welcome to Sociology Sorted, the revision podcast that gets you exam ready fast. I'm your host, and today we're diving into one of the most fascinating and exam-rich topics on your OCR GCSE sociology specification, the media and crime. Whether you're revising for the first time or doing a final check before your exam, this episode has everything you need. We'll cover the core concepts, the key sociologists, the exam tips that examiners wish more students knew, and we'll finish with a quick-fire recall quiz. So grab your revision notes and let's get into it. Let's start with the big picture. Why does the relationship between the media and crime matter sociologically? Well, here's the thing. Most of us have never personally witnessed a serious violent crime. So where do we get our ideas about how much crime there is, who commits it, and how dangerous society is? The answer, for most people, is the media. Newspapers, television, social media, crime dramas, these shape what sociologists call our perception of crime. And here's the crucial point for your exam. That perception is often wildly different from the reality shown in official crime statistics. That gap between media representation and statistical reality is at the heart of this entire topic. So let's build up your knowledge layer by layer, starting with news values. Geltung and Ruge, writing back in 1965, identified a set of criteria that journalists and editors use, often unconsciously, to decide which stories are newsworthy. We call these news values. For your exam, you need to know at least four or five of these and, crucially, be able to explain how they distort crime coverage. The key ones are immediacy. Stories must be recent and happening now. Dramatization. Stories need action, conflict, and emotion. Personalization. Focus on individuals rather than social structures or root causes. Negativity. Bad news sells. And threshold. The story must be big enough to matter. Now here's the exam application that gets you higher marks. Ask yourself, which types of crime score highly on these news values? Violent crime, sexual assault, murder. These are immediate, dramatic, personal, negative, and certainly cross the threshold. Which types of crime score low? White-collar crime, fraud, tax evasion, corporate negligence. These are slow-burning, complex, structural, and often involve faceless corporations rather than individual villains. This is why, as sociologists like Steve Chibnall noted, the media massively overrepresents violent and sexual crime while underrepresenting property crime and almost entirely ignoring white-collar crime. Official crime statistics from the Crime Survey for England and Wales consistently show that the vast majority of crime is property crime. Theft, burglary, criminal damage, yet you'd never know that from reading a tabloid newspaper. There's also a concept called the fallacy of dramatic reality. This is the mistaken belief, encouraged by crime dramas on television, that crime is mostly violent, that detectives always solve cases, and that criminals are always caught. In reality, detection rates for many crimes are very low. Examiners want you to distinguish between fictional representations and news representations. Don't describe a crime drama's plot. Analyze what sociological message it sends about crime and criminals. Now, let's move to the concept that will appear in almost every exam question on this topic, the moral panic. Stanley Cohen is your go-to sociologist here. In his 1972 study, Folk Devils and Moral Panics, Cohen studied the media reaction to clashes between two youth subcultures, the Mods and the Rockers, at Clacton in 1964. What actually happened was relatively minor, some scuffles, broken windows, a few arrests, but the media coverage was explosive. Headlines described a day of terror, battles, and sieges. Cohen identified several key features of what he called a moral panic. First, a group is identified as a threat to social values. Cohen called them folk devils. In 1964, that was the Mods and Rockers. Second, the media presents them in a stylized and stereotypical fashion, exaggerating their numbers, their violence, their threat. Third, moral barricades are manned by editors, bishops, politicians, and other right-thinking people. Cohen called these moral entrepreneurs. Fourth, experts pronounce diagnoses and solutions. And fifth, the condition then disappears, submerges, or deteriorates. Crucially, and this is the point many candidates miss, a moral panic requires disproportionality. The public reaction must be out of proportion to the actual threat. If you just say, the media reported a lot on crime, that is not a moral panic. You must show that the coverage was exaggerated relative to the real level of threat. That word, disproportionate, is your key to higher marks. Now, Cohen's work connects directly to the deviancy amplification spiral, a concept developed by Jock Young in his study of drug use in Notting Hill in the early 1970s. The spiral works like this. An initial act of deviance occurs. The media reports it and exaggerates it. Public concern rises. Police respond with a crackdown and increased surveillance. This leads to more arrests, which appears to confirm the original media story. Further media coverage follows, and the deviant group becomes more entrenched in its identity. Partly as a response to being labeled, the spiral feeds itself. This is the consequence of media reporting, not just the reporting itself. Examiners specifically want you to use the deviancy amplification spiral to explain what happens after the media reports, not just during. This brings us to interactionist concepts, which underpin this entire topic. Labeling theory, developed by Howard Becker in 1963, argues that deviance is not inherent in an act. It is created by social reactions to that act. When the media labels a group as criminal or deviant, this can become a self-fulfilling prophecy. The group internalizes the label and their behavior may actually shift to match it. The label can also become a master status, the defining characteristic by which society sees that person or group. Think about how the media labels young Black men, asylum seekers, or benefit claimants. These labels can stick and shape how those groups are treated by police, employers, and the wider public. Angela McRobbie and Sarah Thornton, writing in 1995, updated Cohen's moral panic theory for the modern media landscape. They argued that in a world of multiple fragmented media, 24-hour news, social media, online communities, moral panics are harder to sustain because there are counter voices and alternative narratives. Folk devils now have the ability to answer back through social media. This is a really useful contemporary application for your exam. Now let's talk about the theoretical debate that will get you into the top mark bands on 12 and 24 mark questions, Marxism versus pluralism. Marxists argue that the media is owned by a small, wealthy elite. Think Rupert Murdoch's News Corp or the Barclay brothers who own the Telegraph. These owners use the media to serve their class interests. Crime coverage focuses on street crime committed by the working class, distracting the public from the far more damaging crimes of the powerful: corporate fraud, tax evasion, environmental destruction. The media, from a Marxist perspective, acts as an ideological tool of social control, reinforcing the idea that the dangerous classes are at the bottom of society, not the top. Pluralists, by contrast, argue that the media simply reflects what audiences want. Editors respond to market demand. If violent crime stories sell papers, it's because the public wants to read them. In this view, the media is not a tool of ideological manipulation, but a commercial product responding to consumer preferences. The rise of citizen journalism and social media, pluralists would argue, has further democratized the media landscape. For your exam, don't just present one side. The strongest answers juxtapose these perspectives and reach a reasoned judgment. You might argue, for example, that while pluralists are right that audience demand shapes content, Marxists make a compelling point that the range of what is considered newsworthy is itself shaped by the values of a predominantly white, middle-class, male editorial class. Right, let's move into exam tips and common mistakes. This is where marks are won and lost. Common mistake number one, confusing moral panic with general public fear. Moral panic has a specific sociological meaning. It requires a folk devil, disproportionate media coverage, moral entrepreneurs, and a societal reaction. If you just say people were scared, you will not get credit for using the concept correctly. Common mistake number two, describing fictional crime dramas instead of analyzing them. If a question asks about media representations of crime, do not spend three paragraphs summarizing the plot of a crime series. Instead, analyze, what image of crime does this drama create? What does it suggest about who commits crime and who are the victims? What is the sociological significance of this representation? Common mistake number three, presenting the hypodermic syringe model as fact. This model suggests audiences passively absorb media messages like a drug injected directly into the bloodstream. While it's useful to mention, you must acknowledge its limitations. Active audience approaches, particularly uses and gratifications theory, developed by Blumler and Katz, argue that audiences actively select and interpret media content to meet their own needs. Audiences are not passive sponges. Common mistake number four, not using sociologists' names and dates. Moving from common sense to sociological analysis requires you to cite Cohen, Young, Galtung and Ruge, Becker, McRobbie, Chibnall, and others. Every time you make a sociological claim, attach a name to it. For command words, when a question says explain, You need to give reasons and show how they connect. When it says evaluate or how far do you agree, you must present both sides and reach a clear judgment. When it says describe, give two or three developed points with supporting detail. In a 12-mark question, aim for three well-developed paragraphs plus a conclusion. In a 24-mark question, you need a sustained argument across six or more paragraphs with a clear evaluative thread running throughout. Now, let's do a quick-fire recall quiz. I'll ask a question, pause for a few seconds, then give you the answer. Ready? Question one. What term did Cohen use for the groups portrayed as threats to social values in A Moral Panic? The answer is folk devils. Question two. Name two news values identified by Galtung and Ruge that explain why violent crime is overreported. Any two from immediacy, dramatization, personalization, negativity, threshold. Question three. What does the deviancy amplification spiral explain? It explains how media reporting of deviance can actually increase deviant behavior through a self-reinforcing cycle of labeling, police crackdown, and subcultural entrenchment. Question four. What is the key difference between the Marxist and pluralist views of crime in the media? Marxists say media serves ruling class interests by focusing on working class crime. Pluralists say media reflects audience demand. Question five. Who updated moral panic theory for the modern media age, and in what year? McRobbie and Thornton, 1995. How did you do? If you got all five, you're in great shape. If not, go back and review those concepts before your exam. Let's wrap up. Today, we've covered the core framework for OCR GCSE sociology, the media and crime. You now know how news values shape which crimes get reported and which don't. You understand Cohen's moral panic theory, including the crucial element of disproportionality. You can apply the deviancy amplification spiral to explain the consequences of media reporting. You know your key sociologists, Cohen, Young, Galtung and Ruge, Becker, McRobbie, Chibnall. And you can evaluate the Marxist versus pluralist debate on media and crime. Remember, in your exam, sociological analysis means moving beyond common sense. Don't just say, the media exaggerates crime. Say, Cohen's concept of moral panic demonstrates that media coverage of crime is characterized by disproportionality with folk devils constructed to serve as scapegoats for wider social anxieties. That's the difference between a level 2 and a level 4 answer. Good luck in your exam. You've got this. I'll see you in the next episode of Sociology Sorted.